Our reading for today is taken from the revelation given to St. John, and here we see him on his tour of heaven in the 21st chapter, beginning with the 9th verse. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. A number of years ago, I was in a van traveling back from a Christian youth gathering and had a van full of teenagers, and on the way, they got on the subject of heaven and started talking about their ideas of what they thought heaven might be like. I'm sure every one of us at some point has tried to imagine what heaven would be like. And in their descriptions of heaven, it was interesting. The conversation went on for about 45 minutes. And it started to get rather comical. And they started to realize how difficult it is for us in this life and in this world to actually comprehend and try to put into words what heaven and the joy and bliss of heaven really is going to be like. If we were to ask the theater department to put on a play that depicted heaven and tried to build a set that somehow depicted heaven for us, just think how challenging that would be, and the potential that you would run into of it kind of appearing hokey. Even sometimes when Hollywood, with all of its special effects and movies, tries to depict heaven or someone in the glory of heaven, it often has elements to it that often become laughable. That's how fallen this world is, how much the effects of the fall away from glory in this world have hit us and impacted us in our lives. We can't even try to imagine and depict what true glory and what a place without any sin or death or trouble, what a place like that would be like. Imagine for just a moment that you were to go into the most impoverished part of Africa and find there two little 8-year-old boys who play on a dilapidated playground, and the most fantastic thing that they can imagine in their day is to get to go to this little playground with broken swings and a broken slide and rusted out merry-go-round. And that's the height of what they can imagine being great. And then trying to describe to them what it would be like to go and live at Disney World for a week. It would just be impossible for them to comprehend it. Martin Luther once said this when it came to our thoughts about heaven. He said, "It's trying to have us think about heaven is like throwing a rock up into the air. You can get it to stay up there for a while, but it just keeps coming back down to ground and back down to the reality of this life and of this earth." It's interesting that in the Bible, whenever God chooses to explain heaven to us, it's interesting the imagery that he will select. He'll pick things like a treasure, things that are really spectacular and wonderful, or that give us the greatest joy in this world. A treasure, a pearl of great price, a country winning a war and having the war come to an end, and the joy that comes with that, the joy of having a baby. All the different images and pictures that God gives in heaven are things that in this life we can try to get our minds around to some extent. But then he says it's even beyond that. It's even beyond any of the joy that we could experience here. And in the text before us today, as St. John is given this, through his vision, is given this tour of heaven, there's this wonderful time now when the angel comes to him and says, "Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." It's as if he's saying, "You've seen a lot of spectacular things here, but now I want to show you what's really awesome and important here at this banquet." you want to see something really special? You kind of get that sense from his words. It's interesting that a marriage banquet, which God uses to depict heaven, is also one of those events in our lives that we think of as kind of the pinnacle of joy, and the place where we put the most, probably the most money and energy and time and effort into planning an event, something that's going to try to kind of represent to our friends and family, this is the happiest day of my life. This is the most fantastic thing that could ever happen to me, that I get to be married to this person. And for that reason, weddings today have become pretty extravagant and pretty outlandish, and quite a bit of money gets spent on them. Well, so it is with the heavenly groom when it comes to wanting to show off his love for his bride, for the church of believers, people that trust in him as their Savior. In heaven, the feast that he depicts is this glorious, fantastic, splendid feast. It is the height of all joy, even in the heart of God, to show off his love for his bride. If you've ever been at a wedding reception, and as a pastor, I've been to many. If you've ever been at a wedding reception, sometimes you can't always spot who the groom is, but boy, you know where the bride is, don't you? You can always see the bride. And the attention is always on that bride and groom. And you can tell just by how the tables are set up and by how everything is served and what is done, exactly who this is all about and who it's for. And we see that depicted here as well. The angel giving John this tour brings him into the New Jerusalem to see who is special at this banquet and at this feast. And we see here the glory and splendor of the bride of Christ. It's interesting that in this world, in this life, whenever someone has the opportunity to see or sense or be in the presence of the glory of Christ or one of his representatives like an angel, there's always fear. Have you ever noticed in the Bible, whenever it talks about that an angel appeared to someone, they were terrified. We're told the shepherds were sore afraid. We're told on the Mount of Transfiguration when Christ glowed in all of his glory and had Moses and Elijah and Moses next to him, then he was glowing in all of his glory, that the disciples put their faces on the ground. They were so afraid of the situation. You see, when we in this fallen world experience the glory of the groom, when we experience his majesty and his splendor and his holiness, we just can't take it. Fallen man in this world is extremely intimidated by the glory and the holiness of Christ. But in heaven, the bride of Christ can sit right next to him without any fear, without any trembling, without any terror. Because his holiness in heaven is now her holiness. Not just in credit the way you have it right now by faith, not just having it accounted to you, that holiness of Christ belonging to you. But in heaven, you have it for real as your own. It is yours and you live it. You don't just possess it the way we do now. But you will be as holy as Christ in heaven. And for that reason, there is no fear for the bride to sit next to the groom. It is done with nothing but joy in her heart. The entire Christian faith is designed around having you someday get to see what it's like to sit next to the groom in heaven. To see what this banquet is all about. Go to any doctrine that you study, any Bible passage that you read, and trace it through and follow its thought through, and you will ultimately end up dealing with issues of heaven. The entire Christian faith has been designed around getting you and me out of this fallen world into a place of glory where we get to live in the presence of Christ with his angels. And that's what the Christian faith is ultimately all about. Johann Gerhard said this once, "You cannot claim to be the bride of Christ if you don't desire the return of the groom." Now, we already belong to this heavenly bridegroom by faith. The faith in our hearts that causes us to say, "My hope of getting to heaven could never depend on me because I know what my life is like. Talk about full of sin. But through the blood of the Lamb shed for you and me, through the blood of Christ on the cross that atoned for all of our sins, by faith in Him, even now you are married to Him by that faith, and you belong to Him. And just to show you how thoroughly in God's eyes you already possess heaven, He talks about heaven as this Jerusalem, this city above, this new Jerusalem. Just to show you how much you thoroughly belong to it even now, when He talks about His believers in Christ in this world, even in this fallen world, what does He call us? Jerusalem. He's already talking about you and me in this life with the name of the city we belong to. And so right now, when we try to think about heaven, just like describing Disneyland to those boys in Africa, right now when we try to think about heaven, it's pretty difficult for us to even imagine. Pretty challenging for us. Because right now we see through a glass darkly, as St. Paul says, but someday we will see face to face. If you want something to live for that. Seeing the glory of Christ face to face. Amen. Please rise. And we pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, send forth your Son, we pray, that He may lead home His bride, the church, that we, with all your saints, may enter into your eternal kingdom through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.
Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.